Well, good morning again. In the precious name of our lovely Lord Jesus Christ that has made a difference in our hearts and lives. I think it was mentioned that all of you signed that you have a relationship with Christ, if I understood it right. But I want you to know that we have a tendency, as we go through our Christian life, to take on some baggage. And that's why we have these youth meetings, is so that we can search our hearts, allow the Word of God to penetrate into our hearts, to make sure that this baggage is not accumulating, that we're taking care of it as we face situations in life. And one of my favorite songs, or I have many favorite songs, I keep telling my wife of different songs that different groups sing, that I want that song at my funeral. And she said, well, your list is so long, it's going to just be singing. And I said, well, that's okay. So one of my favorite songs is that burdens are lifted at Calvary. And I just want to give you encouragement, young people. You're here for a reason. Maybe you were here because you were encouraged to come. Maybe you didn't really want to, but somebody encouraged you. I just want to echo what we've been hearing, what has been said, and that is, be real. Be honest. And when God speaks to you, take care of it. Don't wait till Friday. Start now, because you will enjoy the week so much better. So I just want to, again, point us to the Word of God. I do want to clarify a statement that I said yesterday when I gave you the reason why I do not use electronic devices or a device in place of my Bible. I did mention, I forget how I termed it or worded it, that something about if you use an electronic device for your Bible, that I guess is your choice. I want to make it very clear that I was not encouraging you to use your electronic devices during the sessions here in Bible school. And not only that, in a group, many of us come from many different areas, and some of you come from churches that hardly give any direction on the internet and everything, and that concerns me. And there's some of you that come from churches that are concerned about it and have established settings and things in place to protect you from the evil on the internet. And I know my message is not about the internet today, but it is a burden that I do carry. And maybe your father has restrictions or guidelines in your home. With what I said, I want you to know that I was not taking away from any authority of any father in your home, but with what I said. That was not my intent. My intent was that if you are using it, I was throwing out a caution. So I just wanted to clarify that to make sure that there's not confusion with the even during the sessions here or even on the premise of the area here. I just felt that I should maybe clarify that. So we as ministers do make mistakes. We get things backwards sometimes and maybe are not as thorough as what we should in our wording. So I just wanted to clarify that before we go on with our session today. Okay, let's see. I guess my principles took off on me. So I'm going to ask four young men. Let's go with the third and fourth row here. The two at the end of each row. You can help too, Tim. I'm not trying to take your... Thanks for helping. Also get your paper that gives the outline for the week. Again, the burden of intent for this session is to develop a love and passion for God's Word. And I shared with you that no matter what stage of you are in your Christian life, there needs to be a continual growth. If you're not growing, you're going backwards. There is no sitting still in our Christian life. And if you feel like you're not growing in your Christian life, acknowledge it and say that I need growth in my walk or in my passion and love for the Word of God. The word love has to do with a connection. It helps us find meaning and purpose in life. And then the word passion is the result of our love for the Word of God. So if you do not have a passion for the Word of God, it's probably because you do not have love for the Word of God. And when we love God, we will love His Word. And I just want to impress upon us this week that the Word of God needs to be our feeding trough, if I can call it that. A place where we go to be fed. A place where we go to find answers. And Brother Tim has been talking about relationships, and he's been pointing us to Scripture. And maybe you're here as he's been sharing, struggling with your relationships. I want you to know, take time and start reading your Bible, because the answer is there. The answer is there. So the Word of God has the answer. Now on the back side of that sheet is the song that we are going to sing together. I am not going to take the time to read our theme verses, because you will see in our outline that we will get to that verse later in our session. So when everyone has a copy, what we're going to do is we're going to stand for a word of prayer. And then directly after that prayer, we're going to sing this song together. So does everyone have a copy for the session today? If you do not, raise your hand. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, young men, for handing those papers out. Okay, let's stand for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we again approach you in the name of Jesus again today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation through the blood of Christ. Thank you for making a difference in our lives, for changing us. And Father, we want to continue to be changed. We want you to work in our hearts and our lives every day. We want to get rid of the things that are burdening us down. The burdens that we carry that you did not design our bodies to carry. And because of that, we find ourselves maybe discouraged and in frustration and the uncertainty. When you're just asking us, Lord, or just asking us and saying, my child, just give me that burden and I will take care of it for you. Sometimes we hang on to things when we should be releasing them. And as we look into the subject again, Lord, about the importance of your word, create a desire in our heart to lay aside everything else that we could read and spend time reading your word. Give us the courage to, or the ability, or the desire to just feed on the word of God. As the psalmist David said, that he loves the taste of the Word. And Father, we do not physically eat the Word, but Lord, spiritually, we taste the Word, and it is sweet. And we thank you again for the Word of God. And as we go through this session, Lord, may you speak to our hearts, speak to my heart, and help me to have a clear mind and be able to share what you have laid on my heart for this session today. We give you all the glory and all the praise. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's continue standing, and I'm going to ask our chorister, you're welcome to just lead it from where you're standing. Cling to the Bible.
Thank you.
be seated. How many are here today that know sign language? A few of you, girls, any of the boys, you know sign language? Do you know sign language well enough for tomorrow that when we sing this song that you could sign it? You would be willing to do that? Other fellows, you going to join them? Well, I'll let you all work that out together. Raise your hands again, and you look to see who's raising hands. And if you would be willing to stand up here tomorrow as we sing the song and do sign language, I would appreciate it. I don't know sign language, but when sign language is often used in a song, it is very meaningful. And I would like for you to consider doing that tomorrow. Okay? But I need some of you. There's three girls, three young ladies sitting there kind of in a row that were raised your hands. Can you initiate it to make sure that it happens? Okay. I appreciate that very much. God bless you. Okay, open your Bibles to the long chapter of the Bible, and that is Psalm 119. The key verse for this session has to do with lamp to my feet and light to my path. Yesterday we looked at how the Bible was put together, how many different authors there were, and we also looked at some of the Bible facts, shortest verse, longest verse, and all of that. And sometimes we have the idea that the men in the Bible times were maybe not as brilliant as what we are today. But I want you to know that the men that wrote the Word of God were very brilliant men, even though they were farmers or tent makers. And as I look at the Psalm of 119, in your Bible, some of your Bibles before a psalm, it'll say the Psalm of David. And this psalm is actually an acrostic psalm. It actually takes the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and some of your Bibles probably have it sectioned out, but every eight verse, it uses a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So whoever penned this understood acrostic back then. To be able to take a letter from the Hebrew alphabet and write Psalm 119. So again, just a little sample that I'm sharing with you about how the Word of God is so powerful. Even the men that wrote it understood and were able to use their ability, their intellect, to bring honor and glory to God. And the verse that we're looking at is the verse found in 105. Now, flip your paper over, and we're going to look at the closing question. And you're wondering, why am I taking you to the closing question and using it now as an opening question? I don't know the answer to that, except since I'm standing up here, I decided that I'm going to take you to the closing question and make it the opening question, and then we're going to end with the same question at the closing of the session. But the question is this: when was the last time you made a change in your life because of your study of the Word of God? When was the last time? And I want you to ponder that as we go through this session. When was the last time that I made a change in my Christian walk because of something that I read in the Bible? Nothing to do with someone preaching. Nothing to do with someone teaching. It had to do because I read it. And I have a desire to follow the Word of God. And because I have read it, I am going to live it. When was the last time that you took a verse from the Bible or God spoke to you and you changed your life because of it? When it comes to testimony times, people will often say, well, it's because brother so-and-so said this, or And I want you to know that has its place. But what we're missing sometimes in our testimonies is about our personal walk, that I changed my life because I found this in Scripture, and I'm going to live it out. It has changed my life because I read this portion of Scripture. I want you to ask yourself that question as we go through the importance of the Word of God. When was the last time that you made a change in your Christian life because of you reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God? If it's been a long time, it's probably because you're not studying the Word. You're maybe reading it, and you're doing it out of duty and obligation, and you wonder sometimes, am I even getting anything out of this portion of Scripture? We read the Word of God. I encourage the reading of the Word of God. But we do it because we love the Lord Jesus and we want to know more about Him. We love God and we want to know more about God. Not because I have to read it. Because I'm told that if I'm a Christian, I'm going to read the Word of God. I do it because I love the Lord Jesus Christ and because I love Him. And I want to know more about Him. I read His Bible, the Word of God. And now we like to look about, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Christian life is a journey, a life of godly living, a life of light. It is a journey through a fallen world, which is darkness. Now let's go to Proverbs, and we're going to look at chapter 4. Proverbs 4, where it gives the contrast between the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. Proverbs 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. The Christian life is a life of light in the midst of a dark world. When Jesus prayed for the church in John, He prayed that the people of God will not become part of the world, but that they will keep themselves from the world. He said, I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that they remain faithful while they live in the world. In some ways, it would have been easier that when you become a Christian, that you're taken into another area where there is no more evil and no more ungodliness. We think that would probably be easier to live the Christian life. But God didn't design it that way. God designed it that the people who are the light are to live in the midst of darkness. And the more the world becomes dark, and we're living in dark times that are becoming darker, so much more does the light shine. And God is counting on you and I to be that light in the midst of this ungodly, dark world. Again, He has placed that responsibility to human man again. Not only for the written Word, as they were inspired, but now God has placed the responsibility of the Word of God into the hands of human beings, you and I, to live a life of light in the midst of this dark world. And how can we do it if we don't read the Word of God? If you're not reading your Bibles and you're not reading the Word of God and studying it, you're going to be finding your light going out and you're going to find yourself gravitating towards the darkness. When it comes to light, light penetrates darkness. Light is stronger than darkness. If we were to turn the lights off in this building, it would probably be fairly dark in here. But because you hit the switch, the light comes on, the darkness flees. And we need to remind ourselves as Christians, as we are that light, that greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. You have a power within you that is greater than the darkness. And that is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining forth into your life. Now the phrase lamp to my feet would have to do with the idea of a soft glow of an oil lamp or a flood lamp. And maybe, fellas, you understand the difference between a flood lamp and a spot lamp. And maybe you girls find it a little hard to know the difference between a flood lamp and a spot lamp. But a flood lamp is a lamp that it's not just on a certain spot. It's broad. And I thought of bringing, my son-in-law has one of these Makita lights that are super bright. And you have two modes on it. Actually, you got three modes, a strobing mode. But the first mode is a broad light. It is a floodlight. And then you hit the mode, and then it is a spotlight, which shines a lot further because it's not a broad light. It focuses all the light rays into a spot. And we used to have deer in our area. We put a fence up to put some cattle in, and since then we don't have the deer in our trees. I'm not a hunter, but I do take an interest in watching wildlife. And so one evening I said to him, my little flashlight, all I can see is there's eyes out there. I said, I know there's some deer out there. And he said, I tell you what, he said, I have this Makita light, you get it, and you put it on the spot mode, and he says, you will be able to see if it's a deer or not. So the next evening I was sitting in the house and I decided it's time to go to see if I can find a deer. And I went out there and I put that spotlight on, and that it was a buck, what everyone wants to see, you know, and it had a nice rack on. As soon as I turned that spotlight on, his head came up and he was looking to see where that light was coming from. Like I said, I'm not a hunter. I don't even know if I could shoot a deer. I'd probably feel too sorry for it. I guess that's the difference of people. But the Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Word of God, as we read it, it becomes a lamp. And it's a soft lamp. And as we walk, we're able to see if our steps that are ordered of the Lord, if it is in the path of the light. But what's the blessing about the Word of God? It's not only a light that is a flood lamp, it is also a spot lamp where it shows us the end of the path. Now, I was thinking that I was going to say that it does not really reveal everything in that path, but it does show us the end of the path that we're taking. And then I pondered that as I was driving here this morning, and I thought, no, that is not correct to say that, because the Bible is very clear. If you take this path or that path, the right path or the dark path, it shows the end of that path because it's a spotlight. But it also reveals what's going to happen in that path, depending which path you take. The Bible is clear that the way of a transgressor is hard. If you're going to take the way of a transgressor, if you're going to let your light go out, you're going to find yourself going off the path, you're going to have a hard life. But if you follow God's way, I wish I could say that you're not going to have any more temptations, that you're not going to have to go through suffering, that you're not going to have trials and tribulations. I wish I could say that, but that's not the case, because my Bible tells me that all that are godly shall suffer persecution. One of the reasons we're not faced with the persecution that maybe we think... Let me start over. One of the reasons that we do not face the persecution that we... I'm still not getting it right. One of the reasons we are not faced with persecution is because we are not willing to be the living example of what it is to be godly in our life. And because of that, we are not faced with the persecution that should be in our life. We don't like suffering. Now, I know tomorrow we are praying for loved ones that are in Haiti. And I know one of the brother-in-laws his wife is a sister to the couple. And as I talked to him, he just said the Bible is clear that this will happen to those that live godly lives. And he said he is amazed at how many people are saying, I just wish the Navy SEALs would go in there and just show and to get them out. But he said what they don't realize is the kidnappers have a soul as well that are going to spend eternity somewhere. And I appreciate very much different articles that I have written where it's not only about the safety of our loved ones, it's also about the salvation of those that are living ungodly lives. They're in darkness. And as they're in darkness, this group of people of 17, including children, are a light in the midst of darkness. When we see it through the eyes of God, it kind of changes the whole picture a little bit. But yet, I wouldn't want to trade places with them, probably, and be the ones that are held in hostage or in captivity. But yet the Bible's clear, that's the path of the righteous. So not only does the not only show the path, but it shows the end of the path. And we don't know what's going to happen. But it has the attention of the world over. Families are getting emails from all over the world that otherwise there would not even be any contact with because of the things that are happening and taking place. God is up to something. I don't know what. I don't know the outcome. It'd be nice if we would know the outcome, but we don't know that. So I say this, that I wish I could say that when you become a Christian, that path is just a smooth path and there's no trials and tribulations, but God didn't design it that way. One of the reasons He didn't is not that He enjoys seeing His people suffering, but the reason He has not made it an easy path, it tests our loyalty to Himself as the Almighty God. So don't look at trials and tribulations and things that come your way that God allows into your life that you're tested with as a burden. Work through it and go on. A verse that has been really a blessing to my life as I have faced some struggles in my Christian life is that there is nothing that's going to be allowed into my life that I'm not able to overcome by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not let us be tempted above what we're able to handle. So as you are faced with tough times, remember, God is allowing it. God doesn't bring it, but God allows it. So it shows our path. So if we're going to know where our next step should be in our Christian walk, or which path that we're on, in order for this to happen, there needs to be personal Bible study. And I'm asking another question. How did you come to believe what you believe? How did you develop your belief system? Do you know what you believe? I shouldn't just look at the men, sisters. You need to know, too, what you believe. It might be true that you don't get up and preach, but I want you to know you have a calling as well. I don't know where God is going to take all of you. As you sung that song, cling to the Bible, and I looked at your faces, maybe you saw I was smiling, but I just envisioned you all over the world, clinging to your Bible and telling the good news of salvation to souls that are dying spiritually. 20 years from now, if I could have each of your names, and I want you to know that with what I'm saying, that I am not saying that everyone has to go into mission work or across the waters into areas of need. They're in our own local cities. I will not be able to be with you tonight because of the children's ministry we have in Reading. I will be helping to keep control of some children that are... It all depends what their day was at home. Sometimes we have good times. The next time they're bouncing off the walls and my patience is tried. And then I have to remember they know nothing about what I was taught as a little boy. They just need, or a little girl, they just need someone to show love to them. But I thought as you were singing that song, it would be nice if I could have all your names and 20 years from now get a world map and put a pin where each of you will be. But in order to be fulfilled in your walk with God, you need to know what you believe. You need to know your Bible. Because if we're going to be all over the world sharing the good news of salvation, you're going to need to know, because you will be challenged in some of the belief that you believe. Why do you believe what you do? Some of us believe what we believe because that's what we've been taught. We have good preaching in our services. We have good homeschooling. Some of you have went to school. We've had good Christian day schools. You're taught. And because of that, you have developed a belief of what you believe. But it needs to go deeper than that. It needs to be a personal belief. And I encourage you to study why you believe what you believe. One of our little grandsons is learning to eat some food off the table through a grinder. And it's really interesting to watch him. And he knows wherever that spoon is to turn his mouth. And when he's ready for some more, it's a beg. And we spoon feed him. Some of it falls out and we put it... he's learning to eat. But there comes a time when we are expecting him to pick up his own spoon and start feeding himself, right? But too many of God's people are still allowing the preacher, the teacher, to continue to spoon feed them, and they never learn to take their own spoon and feed themselves. Now, it's true if our grandson would continue to be spoon-fed, he'd probably still grow to a point. But somebody would always have to be there to make sure he gets fed, or that there's a spoon available to feed him. God is asking you and I to feed ourselves. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. But the Bible also talks about meat. Milk is good to start out with. But if you just have a milk diet, you eventually need meat for proper development of the body. So don't be satisfied at your age. And maybe some of you have only been a Christian for a very short time. I don't want to put you on a guilt trip with what I'm going to say. But if you feel that you're being spoon-fed and you're still on the milk, I give you encouragement to start reading the Word of God and getting the meat out of it. Like I said, we all have a desire to do the work for the Lord. We all have a desire to do what's right. But yet it takes our part. We can't just sit there and expect it all to happen. Some foundational principles. Since the Bible is the Word of God, there is no difference between God speaking audibly or Scripture speaking. The same God who spoke the world into existence has spoken His Word through Scripture. And I asked that question at the beginning, has there been a time in your life where you had changed your way of living because of something that you studied in the Bible? And here is this word, submission. Some of you might struggle with that word, but I want you to know that the Christian life is a life of submission. We submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when we submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, there will always be authority in our life for us to submit ourselves to. And sometimes we chafe under this word submission. I don't want to be told what to do. I want to live my own Christian life. But you will always be called to submission. Some of my friends that I grew up with had a hard lesson in learning submission. They found themselves in prison, in ungodly situations because they didn't want to submit. They wanted to do their own thing, their own life, live their own life. And because of that, found themselves in difficult situations. And they found out eventually, even in prison, that they had to submit. It was with force. It's so much better to learn to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to allow that submission to our parents, to church, to brotherhood. Learn it. Bow your heart to it, because non-submissive hearts will take us into areas and realms we never want to go. And eventually you will be forced to submit, but not in a way that you think you're going to submit. Okay? Now, when it comes to submission to the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, I want you to look at the Word of God and to submit your heart to it as you read it. Now, I mentioned here about God speaking audibly. And Brother Dale mentioned it last evening, that if God would be standing here and there would be thunder and lightning and everything, it would get our attention. I want you to know that I had this in here. I didn't have the word audibly in, but I had the phrase, there's not a difference between God speaking and Scripture speaking, before He even said that. So it's interesting how God can lay that same thought on two different hearts. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's no difference between the reading of the Word of God and God speaking audibly. When you read the Word of God, it's God speaking to you. It's maybe not an audible voice. Now, He has placed the responsibility of the teaching of the Word of God into the hands of human beings. So as I read the Word of God, I'm not God. I'm a servant of God with the calling to preach the Word of God, but I'm not God. But yet it is God's Word when I read the Word of God to you. It's not my Word, it's God's Word. And if you have a problem with some of the words or the verses that I read to you, that's between you and God, not between you and I. We'll get to this in another session, that we at times have the tendency, and preachers are guilty of this, and not only preachers, but anyone teaching, we try to use the Word of God to support our thinking, rather than letting the Word of God do the thinking for us. There's a difference between the two. So the next time when someone gets up to preach or teach, and all these brothers that have been sharing with you, Brother Tim, I've known since he was a very young boy, have seen God work in his heart and life, and has been a blessing to see God using him in many ways and his desire to do what is right. I've known Paul Shirk for a number of years, a dear brother, a man that I respect and is a peer of mine. You know, his gift of being able to go into the Word of God and just bring it out. Brother Dale Heisey has been a tremendous influence in my life over the years. And I say that to say this, no matter who is preaching or sharing the Word of God, whether it's someone you have known or not known, maybe it's someone that doesn't have the ability to even teach or preach or whatever and is sharing the Word of God, you need to look past the person that's sharing the Word of God. Because it's God speaking, not the individual that is doing the presentation of the Word of God. We are instruments used to the Word of God. And sometimes we tune out, depending who the speaker is. And maybe in our different congregations, there might be those that find it hard to share their thoughts. And sometimes when they share, I see people kind of almost groaning and saying, well, you know, can he do better than that? I want you to know that it doesn't matter the quality or the qualifications of an individual. When the Word of God is presented, we honor it. We respect it. We do not gauge the Word of God based on the individual that's presenting it. Years ago, there was a brother that I knew very well that found it very hard to get up and to share in front of people. He would get sick in the stomach and could barely get out of his seat to come forward. And as he would present the Word and read the Word. It's true he might have not had a lot of things to say, but he read the Word of God. There would be sweat beads on his eyebrows and sweat kind of running down his cheek. And he just found it so hard. But yet, when he would read the Word of God, it would speak to my heart. Because here is a man that wants to do what God is asking him to do. And he's presenting the Word of God. Do not gauge the Word of God on the individual that is speaking it. The Word of God is alive. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. It's true, your Bible doesn't jump around in your lap while you're reading it, because there's life in it. But when you read the Word of God, it's alive, because it speaks to our hearts. It brings forth fruit as we read it. It's alive. The more we embrace the Word, the more active it becomes in our life. The more you study the Word, the more you're going to have a desire for it. The more it's going to impact your heart and life. The more we embrace the Word of God, the more active it becomes in our life. And I know we have, you know, CDs to listen to. We have tapes. We have other different means of hearing messages and things. But I want you to know that all that hearing, there still needs to be a time when you personally study the Word of God yourself. The more we embrace the Word, the more we study the Word, the more alive it becomes in our life. Praise God for that. Study your Bibles. Know what your Bible says and know what you believe. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. We see that in that long psalm again, Psalm 119. And that doesn't have 898 verses. I don't know if yours has that on your form or not. But that is a misprint. But God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Maybe I better... 189. I'm sorry? Oh, 89. Thank you. I thought it was earlier. Someone else was having trouble hearing you all. And I thought, well, come on, turn your hearing aid up. But... having the same trouble. Now, if I can find Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled. The word of God doesn't change. It's forever settled. You can read this same word 20 years from now if God tarries, and it's going to be the same word. It never changes. That's why it's such a blessing to be able to preach and teach out of a book that doesn't change. That's a blessing. God's word will never perish. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Talking about perishing, man has tried to get rid of the Bible. They have tried to burn it. They've tried to bury it. They've tried many different ways of getting rid of the Bible. Not only did they try to get rid of the Bible, they tried to get rid of the people that believed the Bible. And we could come to that, even in America. I don't know what the future holds. It's changing pretty fast. And yet at the same time, I don't want to be a doomsday person that feels that everything is crashing and falling to pieces. It's changing, I know that much. But I want to give you encouragement. In spite of all the changing, God's word will not perish. They tried to get rid of the Bible. They tried to get rid of the people. And you know what happened? The more they tried to get rid of it, the more they tried to get rid of the people, the more it grew. The more it grew. Totally opposite of what they thought would happen. The word of God will not return unto him void. Now to our theme verse, 2 Timothy, our theme verses. I'm going to be reading verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we're going to take the time to look at some of these words, what they mean. When something is profitable, it means it's not in the negative. In the business world, businesses have what they call profit and loss sheets. At the end of every month, maybe even in the middle of the month, maybe weekly, businesses will print off what they call a profit and loss sheet. Scripture always brings forth profit. You never see a loss when it comes to the Word of God. In business, you will see negative at times. Maybe your expenses that month were greater than your income. And if that goes on too long, you become bankrupt. But when it comes to the Word of God, it's profitable. Always profitable. The Word of God, you will never have a negative balance because it's profit. We look too many times at profit in dollar signs. God doesn't look at profit in dollar signs. God looks at profit in the individual's life of his love and her love for his relationship with him. It doesn't mean that God cannot use our money to his honor and glory, but when it comes to this word profit, the scripture always brings forth profit. The word profit means that it's helpful. It means it's serviceable. It means that you have everything in your hands to be profitable in your Christian life. The word doctrine has to do with teachings. Doctrine, people look at in a negative way. Doctrine is not a negative word because it stands for teachings. When it comes, or someone said, well, doctrine divides. And he was using it one time as he was speaking, this individual was speaking to me. He said, doctrine divides. And I said, I agree, it divides between what is right and wrong. But doctrine should not divide God's people over the teachings of what the Word of God is. What does divide us sometimes is when we take the things of man and teach them as doctrine. And because we teach them as doctrine, we soon have that as the focus more than what we do, the actual teachings of the Bible. I'm part of a congregation, I'm running out of time here, that we do have a statement of faith. And we also have what we call statement of values. Some of you might consider it a discipline. Some of you come from churches that are used to some things written down. Some of you might come from churches where you say, well, the Bible is our only discipline or only doctrine. I want you to know that every church has its own discipline, whether written or not. It's just that some of it's verbal and some of it's written down. You always have what's accepted and not accepted in your congregation. So the word doctrine is not a negative word. It's a positive word. And what happens, I was going to ask you this question. If I were to hand you our confession of faith along with our statement of values, where would you turn to first? The statement of values or the confession of faith? Okay, good. Would you all be able to say that? Some of you would turn to our statement of values and say, well, what does this church stand for? More concerned about the application than about the spirituality of the congregation of what we stand for. I want you to ponder that. We are so used to only looking at application that we lose out on the spirituality part of it. And we find ourselves not developing a love for God's Word, but we find ourselves looking at each other and not agreeing on some of the applications. I think applications are important. Another word, here is the word reproof, which means conviction. As you read the Word of God, it will bring conviction into your heart. The other word is correction. It means to straighten out again. When something gets crooked in your walk with God, it straightens you back up into your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this is for the instruction in righteousness. It means training by implication in right living. So doctrine is important, reproof is important, correction is important, and instruction is important. It all has to do with righteousness. So doctrine means teaching, reproof means conviction, correction means to straighten again. Instruction in righteous is training by implication in right living. 1 minute yet. And the results, you see that in verse 17, it's perfect, which means it's complete. And then furnished unto all good works, it gives you all the good works that a Christian should be living in order to produce right living. Praise God for that. My Bible tells me a lot. And it is something that we need to strive for. Hebrews 4:12 mentions about the Word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword. And I want you to remember this. It discerns your thoughts. And it also discerns the intents of your heart. Your thoughts. Yeah, your thoughts. Those thoughts that you think nobody knows anything about. I want you to know God knows about those thoughts. Whether they're right thoughts, ungodly thoughts, God knows those thoughts. And He's a discerner. As you read the Word of God, it discerns your thoughts. And it also discerns your intentions. My intentions. It knows your. It reveals your motives and everything in life. So the Word of God is important. Again, closing with the question that we started with in the beginning. When was the last time you made a change in your life because of your study of the Word of God? One little short story. I was preaching in a church in the state of New York, and I was getting towards the end of my message, and a young man sitting on the front row raised his hand and said, I said to him, yes, what do you have to say? And he said, I need to get born again. He didn't even wait until the invitation was given. I want to give you encouragement when the invitations are given. Anytime to testify or to share something and you are struggling, I want to give you encouragement. You respond and let God take care of the difficult situation you might find yourself in. Again, the importance of the Word of God. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.